Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody doing? This is your host, Coach Terrence Wood. Glad to be back in the BYGP locker room as we kick off our 2017 season. Hopefully all is well with everybody out there listening. Some of you guys who may be listening recorded show, hopefully you guys had a great end to the 2016 year. We had a bunch of success, not only with our company, but with many of our young athletes. And for those that are joining us for the first time, the BYGP Locker Room Show is geared towards young football players that aspire to play college football and maybe even more. We work with young football players ages 13 through 19, which is pretty much eighth grade through first year of junior college. And it is totally geared towards the mental, moral, social aspects of being a top-notch student athlete. So tonight's show is directly in line with what we teach our student athletes. We have a gentleman on that I'm excited to have on, you guys, because not only is he a former teammate of mine, but he's somebody that has played football. He's somebody that's coached football. He's somebody that's worked with athletes from a psychological standpoint. So now, Dr. Judd Johns is a clinical psychologist, and he has a Dr. Judd's Institute, and I'm excited to bring him on here to talk about mental toughness and awareness and spirituality and a few other things that you guys need to know about. So I think we already have Dr. Judd on the line. Can you hear us, Judd?
I can, Terrence. Thank you so much for that introduction. Can you hear me well?
I can hear you perfectly, and I know this is your first time in the BYGP locker room, but we have an audience of young student-athletes that just want to get after it. They're looking for education in different areas, so we really appreciate you coming on tonight.
Well, I'm here to help in any way I can, and I think all the audiences know out there, you were a couple years ahead of me as a teammate, and it impacted me so. It was such an intense impact as a young athlete watching you hawk down a guy and save the game on a 3-yard line. You caught up with the guy, Kansas game. It was my freshman year. And I just never seen that kind of effort out of a player on a football field that has such a big impact to turn the entire game around. And so it's really cool to be on the other end and talking to you all these years later and helping young athletes together.
Well, I appreciate the sentiment, and I would pull a hamstring if I tried to run that fast again, but it's good to relive those times, and very, very excited to hear some of your opinions and knowledge on some of the subjects we're going to tackle tonight, and I'm excited for where your career is going as well. So let's get started. For those that don't know you, Dr. Judd, where are you originally from?
I'm from a small town right in the middle of Tennessee. It's called Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Okay, and coming out of Tennessee, obviously I know they love their football out there. When did you start looking at college football as a possibility for you?
I grew up in a football family, so it was my entire life. I grew up on the sidelines at Middle Tennessee State University. It's where my dad is still the team physician, and he's Hall of Fame there. I watched my brother playing growing up. I was much younger, and I wanted to follow in their footsteps.
Great story right there. I didn't know that. And shout out to Dad. And as far as a possible recruiting opportunity or really starting to seriously look at what college you wanted to go to, did you have anybody assisting you in that process, or was it all on your own?
Yeah, my mentor and pretty much my second dad is Coach Mickey Sullivan at Fort Union Military Academy. He prepared me for the realities of the recruiting process. For instance, the difficulties of being a walk-on in a major university like Colorado.
And you did decide to go to Fort Union. I'm glad you brought that up because, like I said, most of our athletes are student athletes and want to go play college. Some of them go straight to a university. Some have to go junior college. Not many of them know about the prep school route. Did you enjoy your time at Fork Union, and do you think that's a good option for student-athletes?
Enjoy is a funny word. I mean, now it's one of the greatest choice my parents ever helped me make, but choose is kind of a funny term for me because I was in seventh grade. I chose a co-ed school in Florida that offered water sports, and my parents basically chose Fork Union for me, and I'm glad that they did.
Okay, and for those that don't know, what's some of the benefits of a school like Fork Union for a young man?
Well, I've seen some of the greatest athletes in the nation come out of Fork Union. In football alone, I watched Eddie George when I was in middle school. Maybe guys are really young watching out there. He was a big time back that won the Heisman. And guys like Vinny Testaverde was before him. And so that's two Heisman Trophy winners coming out of the same school. That's unheard of in the nation. I mean, even Chris Perry as a sophomore was my backup my senior year, and he was a Heisman Trophy finalist out of Michigan. So that kind of track record really indicates that the program has the capability of creating an atmosphere for athletes to succeed, both academically as well as athletically.
Great point right there. And as far as your choice to go to CU, what was the determining factor as far as that choice?
Oh, man. You know, the military academy, it exposed me to people from all over the world. I wanted to continue expanding my cultural perspective and mindset in different parts of the country. So after attending CU's summer football camp, I was hooked. I mean, after I saw the mountains, and I trained in CU's amazing facilities, there was no question that was my focus and that was my dream, and I was going to do whatever it took to make the team and win a championship.
So we have young athletes, Dr. Judd, that are making the adjustment, whether it's from eighth grade to high school, and they're trying to find their way through high school, or whether it's a kid that's going from high school to a university or a junior college. What were some of the biggest adjustments that you had to make on the field and off the field going from Fort Union to the University of Colorado?
I think on the field, I mean, I played some amazing athletes, but I think guys like Hannibal Navies, the guy was, like, as fast as me. Like we're talking a 250-pound linebacker that can run you down east to west as well as north to south. So that has a powerful impact on you when you're used to, like, the big guys not moving as fast as you. Off the field for me, because I was in a military structure, it was having simple freedoms like I didn't have. Being in a military academy, like eating when I wanted, taking long showers, staying up late, like simple stuff like that. That was an adjustment for me.
Did you expect when you went onto the campus at CU the athletic commitment to be so large as far as the time consumption?
Oh, man, nothing compare you for the level of commitment. I mean, I had a structured life and routine, and I knew how to work hard, but I don't know what I thought, but let's put it this way. I thought I was going to be tearing up the mountain on a snowboard during the off season, and I never touched the slopes all 4 years I played. You and I both know what winter conditioning is like. And it's more intense, you know, what's football season and the quote unquote off season isn't much of an off season, you know?
Exactly. What's your, in your opinion, the biggest difference between, cause you, like you said, you went up to CU to have a chance to win a championship, fortunate enough to do that, as teammates in 2001. But what would you say, is one of the biggest differences that you see, whether it was from your playing days or coaching, from a championship-level team to maybe a traditionally losing program mentally?
Oh, man, that's a loaded question, T. Oh, you're going to have to rephrase that because I think that's so loaded. There's different levels to it. I'm trying to answer that one the best way I can.
Yeah, just from, because we've all been in different locker rooms, whether it was a team that was trending in the right direction and a championship-level team, and we've been a part of those losing teams too. And what, just mentally, what do you think separates the two?
You know, the first thing that comes to mind, and I think one of the coolest things that Coach Barnett ever did, was to ask the team, how many of us had been on state championship teams? I can't remember if you were there then. And along with myself and about 10 of us, we raised our hands in the room. It's about 10 of us. And then he asked, what were the qualities that led to our success? And we all gave varying answers that stemmed around team unity. And then he pointed out that not a single one of us gave an answer concerning the talent, the speed, or the athleticism of any of our teammates. And I thought that was pretty amazing, because this made me realize what my military academy instilled in me early on. You have a duty to yourself first for the greater whole, meaning you have to take care of yourself first. Otherwise, you become dependent on other people's talents, which will never allow for victory as a team. I mean, you can't give to others what you don't have for yourself. And that means we have to live a life of balance, discipline, and most importantly, leadership and a love for ourselves before we can hold others accountable. We can't balance other people out unless we're balanced. I think I answered your question.
Oh, you definitely did. No, that was perfect right there, and I like the ending with the balance. As far as psychology, I know this is something that you were attracted to even in college. What was it about psychology that really got you going? What interested you about psychology?
You know, my mentor that I mentioned, Coach Sullivan, he was a psychology major, and he was always so real with me and authentic. And I mentioned to him, and he kind of told me, you know what, if you're going to do it, you better become a doctor. And I agreed, and then after football, I dedicated my life to healing my own pain so I could help heal others.
As far as football, you know, because you played at a high level, the game can come with some stress and sometimes, you know, just a lot of pressure for young men. A lot of the kids that we deal with, they experience pressure centered around recruiting. Do you think that a player can play to their peak potential if there's stress in their life or if something's going on in their home life?
Oh, great question. Okay. No. They can perform at a high level compared to other athletes they're playing with and not being anywhere close to their peak performance based on their abilities. That's the real confusion with comparative thinking. Most coaches and parents think that something went wrong when the athlete went off to college or to the pros and doesn't perform at their high level. And I'm here to tell you it's always something that's unresolved from their past that's finally showing up later down the road, especially when the competition becomes greater. You know, this becomes a real problem when athletes use athletics, especially contact sports such as football, to cope, because they don't have resources like someone like myself that they could talk to and they've worked through things, or they've been taught just to kind of suppress it. So eventually they become injured. Now what do they do when their only method for coping is now taken away due to injury? Emotional pain has warning signs that always show up in the body. This is where, and let me see how to say this. I mean, this is why understanding the mind-body connection is critical to becoming a great athlete at every level. You can go on my website, drjudd.com. I think you have the slides as well showing right now. There I have an injury map showing all of my surgeries, and below it I have an emotional map as well. So you can see how emotional issues start to show up as pain in the body. I teach from my own pain because everything I'm talking about now, I had to apply it to my own life as an athlete and professional so that I could see that you can see how I'm a living proof and wisdom of everything I teach. So, and think about it, most in the field of sports psychology are purely teaching out a theory, meaning knowledge and wisdom come from living out these theories, not simply teaching them. Therefore, I teach from my own pain that I had to overcome as an athlete.
Wow, that's huge right there, Judd. And I know that you had an opportunity to coach as well. Did you see some of the younger players that you were coaching going through some of the same issues that you did as a player?
Of course. You know, and I couldn't see it until I started working on it myself. And it's almost sad how late it started taking for those things to turn on. But, you know, the first thing I started learning was the patience with myself. And then, and this is any coaches listening out there, just to have more compassion for yourself. Because I realized after my first year of coaching with Coach Tom McCartney, which is son of famous Bill McCartney, we coached together, and I had a lot of growing left to do. Then I went on to coach with former Heisman Trophy winner Ty Detmer in Austin, Texas. And during that time, I realized that the more compassionate I became with my own growth, the more in tune I was with the process my athletes were experiencing and their growth as well.
Wow, that's amazing. I remember talking years ago when you were coaching about some of the issues that some of your players were having off the field and how that was affecting them on the field and how compassionate you were with them. So I can appreciate what you're talking about right there. For the athletes that may be listening or the parents that may be listening that want to help out their child, what's some advice that you could give centered around pressure academically for some of these young men?
Oh, man, what a great question. You know, I know you think I'm going to take more of a psychological perspective, but it's going to come back straight to balance. Balance, balance, balance.
Yeah.
And it's like once you're balanced, your cognitions, your functions, your physical functions are capable of processing almost any stress and taking it on as being adaptive stress. I live by the 80-20 rule in everything in my life. My mentor, Paul Check, taught this to me among many things. And what this means is 80% of the time you're structured, and the other 20% you allow yourself the freedom to do whatever you want, you know, whatever. But see, most young athletes have this all backwards, meaning they're structured about 20% of the time, and the other 80% they're out gaming, partying, or doing whatever. So my job is to provide athletes with the life skills so that you're not dependent on me or anyone else. See, I help you become your own doctor. And Paul Check, which I learned all this from, calls this the four doctors. And he's written a book on it. You know, you got to think of the four areas in your life that have to be balanced. It's like your doctor diet, your doctor movement, your doctor quiet, and your doctor happiness. Everything comes down to those four major areas in life that if you remain balanced will allow you to perform at your highest level. How you eat, how you move, sleep, and play. Sleep. I'm just going to go off on sleep for a bit, Terrence, and I hope you all stay with me here. Sleep is a great example for balance. You have to have your head on the pillow 5 to 6 nights a week by 10:30, and those one or two nights you give yourself to play. every athlete has to understand how to regulate their circadian rhythms, meaning their sleep-wake cycles, to the sunrise and sunset. Right in the center of everyone's brain is your pineal gland. Now, this secretes growth hormone, melatonin. It regulates stress levels and overall physical performance. Everyone think right now, think about the hands on a clock, okay? Starting at 10:30 p.m. to 2:30 a.m., our brains start to release essential growth hormone for physical repair. Then at about 2:30 to about, let's say 6 a.m. to 6:30, our neurological and psychological repair takes place. So if you don't get your head on the pillow and asleep by 10:30 p.m., say you're in front of the computer screen until about 12:30 a.m., right? Then you missed out on 2 hours for repairing your body and becoming stronger. So I even mentioned computer screens there. I did that for a reason. Like, I also want to note that our brains are not wired for these blue and white lights emitted by your smartphones, your laptops, your TVs. Once the sun goes down, you have to slowly start dimming your lights in your home and preparing your body for healing. Like, there are even apps on your phone for this and all your devices. I even go as far, like a big nerd, to wear, like, orange glasses to cancel out blue and white lights when I'm watching TV if I'm doing that before bed. Like, and I want to mention, like, how strong this is. There are even case studies out there where participants' neurological functions were observed during sleep-wake cycles. And just by simply shining a light across the room, the pineal gland immediately shut off the secretion of melatonin. Okay, melatonin is essential for putting you to sleep. So growth hormone is like an over $1 billion industry. Like, we see all these athletes, sadly, that feel the need to take performance-enhancing drugs. It's not necessary, right? Every athlete that comes in my office is talking about, like, low testosterone, and every one of them are missing out on the growth hormone produced by a little gland right in the middle of their head. Once I balance them out and get their sleep-wake cycles back on track, they have more energy, more power, more stamina, and more recovery than they ever have before. I'm serious as a heart attack to all my viewers out there. If I didn't know the results for myself, my patients, I wouldn't take so long and spend such an intense amount of time on such an important topic. Trying to get to bed 5 times a week by 10:30, and you'll feel stronger and more capable to do whatever it takes to fulfill your dreams. I promise you. You'll be tapping into, like, Wolverine type of healing powers. Okay? The other balance you out, you know, like, yeah, right? And so, like, and we're talking about the balance. And I guess what comes to mind is, like, we're talking about the body, you know? Simple for every athlete out there. Right now, drink half your body weight in ounces a day. Say you have a 200-pound football player, that's 100 ounces of water. There's 33-something ounces in each liter, so he needs to drink a minimum of 3 liters a day. Every athlete comes to my door, I promise you they're dehydrated. Once I get them regulated, all that energy comes up and the recovery comes up. Every cell in your body requires clean water. We're 75% water. We need it, no one's drinking it. We're drinking all these green, glowy drinks that don't do anything for you, but you know, I don't know. I'm not going to go off down that road. And, you know, but the other thing we have to do, because a lot of times some athletes, T, and you and I can recognize it, is you come so focused on your dream and so driven, and that's a lot of where I was as a young athlete, that I wouldn't allow any time for play, right? It was like pure focus, work, like I wanted to outwork everybody in the gym, everybody on the field. I had to outrun everybody, but then my life was completely going the same direction. I wanted to go out. I wanted to do everything as well. So for play and to regulate that, I share with a lot of the same things I do for myself with other athletes. I put a timer on for 20 minutes a day. And either I practice the guitar, I do art, or I dance. And, like, T, I can dance. Like, I can teach Justin Timberlake a thing or two, okay? And so, but you got to do, see, you got to tap into what brings you joy. And a lot of people that come in my office, like, they've lost that. You know, they've been so focused on their dream, they don't know how to balance themselves. And I found that if I don't do the little things I enjoy, then it gets pretty hard to be present with my loved ones and everything around them and talk about my dreams. So most of us, myself included, can become so left-brain dominant. And what I mean by that is become highly analytical, that we never tap into the creative parts of our brain, and we become out of balance. Your right side, you're creative, and your left side, you're analytical. And a lot of us could start thinking so hard, and we got to tap in from the head to the heart. The head from the heart, T, and everybody listening out there, it might only be about a foot or two away, but I tell you what, some people, it's a marathon. It's the longest journey you're ever going to take. And, you know, I mentioned my mental project. You know, he said, like, take 20 minutes a day. And I was like, hey, I don't have 20 minutes a day. He's like, you know what? Take 40 minutes a day then. You know, because what that's teaching you is to put things in perspective and balance yourself out and focus where you need to focus. He's 56 and he's in better shape than you and I have ever been and accomplished more in 100 lifetimes. So I tend to listen to that kind of wisdom. That's where I pass on my love and devotion to other athletes, because I've seen it done in people that are have decades more experience than myself, and that's why I'm passing it on now.
Definitely. So when you're sitting here and you're discussing some of these premier athletes, these guys who have been consistent for years, your Tom Brady's, your, you know, guys like, you know, LeBron James, guys that sustain greatness, you're saying that it's more than just the physical talent. There's other entities in place.
Oh, without a doubt. I don't know a single one of those guys that doesn't have balance in their life or regimented structure, where they allow certain things, and the discipline is the biggest part of it. And, you know, that's why the 80-20 rule makes the most sense, because, you know, it's even with your diet, it's the biggest thing with athletes, right? Eating whole, organic, full foods that get, like, you're working out so hard and you got to repair yourself. Well, if I'm working with an athlete who goes, okay, sure, I'll eat, you know, 100% organic food. I'm like, well, have you ever done that? No. Well, I'm not going to set you up for failure, right? So we're even going to think about, like, well, let's make sure you're not in the high school eating food out of the vending machine all day. What's 80% of you trying to be healthy and eating whole foods? Let's just start at whole foods, right? And it's like, okay, well, how many meals per week? 21 minimum, right? And so it's like, what's 20% of that? You can say whatever, eat whatever you want. Well, that's four meals a week, right? But so until you start thinking that way, you're never structured, you're never focused on what you're allowing yourself and you're not allowing yourself. You're just kind of allowing life to happen to you instead of really being the driving seat for what you want. And that really comes down to everything. It's not only balance my athletes out. The thing about those athletes you mentioned is they have a clear distinction of what their dream is. It's clear to them. Every single person. That's the thing, T, and I want everybody to learn about there. You say, oh, I want to go pro. Oh, I want to go pro. I just had a former athlete that is a Super Bowl champion that I counseled the other day, and it took over an hour for us to really get to the point for him to say, you know what, no one gave me these skills. The dream was to go pro, and once I got there, I never had these essential skills to balance my life out, and then I didn't have a dream past that. It was simply to go pro. And once you're there, it's like, what now? And a lot of those guys, they're always looking at that next step, and what do I need to refine about my daily life schedule? Who am I letting in to my dream team? Who's my circle? You know, like, and this to you, my a quote from my grandmother, it's a great, you know, let me think of it for a second so I don't ball it up. you know, it's hard to soar with the eagles when you're out pecking with the chickens. If you want great things to happen, look around you, you know. Look around you. Who are you sharing your dreams with? Do you know their dreams? Do you support each other's dreams? Are your teammates the ones that are trying to pull you out at night, or have you online playing games all night? Or are they making fun of you when you want to go to bed at 10:30? Are they making fun of you when you have 3 liters of bottled water in your bag because you're trying to regulate that? Who supports your dreams? You have to get those people in your corner.
Wow, amazing advice. And for those that are just joining us, this is Coach Terrence Wood in the BYGP locker room. I am graced with the opportunity to have Dr. Judd Johns on tonight for the Dr. Judd Institute, and he's doing some amazing work as far as psychology, working with some athletes, former player and coach. We've got Dr. Judd on for a couple more minutes. If you do have a question, you can reach us at 310-807-5195. I wanted to ask you what your opinion was as far as the transition for athletes and finding some downtime or finding something else to put interest into. Do you have any advice or any tips for athletes to try to find another way to decompress?
Do you have an example of where your mind's eye is when you ask that question? Because
you mentioned for yourself that, you know, you just love to dance and you want to do some art, you know. How did you go about finding that as your pleasure, and do you have any advice for athletes to find a way to get away from football?
Well, I mean, it takes a while to kind of figure out just what brings a smile on your face. You know, what you can do with no attachment to the outcome. You know, when I sit down and do art, it doesn't matter what it looks like. You know, when I pick up the guitar, it's like, it doesn't matter, like, if I'm playing in front of people or not. It's like, I have to detach from the outcome, and this is something I enjoy. When I dance, it's to get lost in it. And we can become so consumed with, I got to do this, and that's where it becomes this, it means something about me. Right. And so a lot of what you're talking about, when we're not able to tap into, you know, the simple things that make us happy, that's usually what I experience is the beginnings of really an anxious person, you know. And do we have time to kind of get into the anxiety and athletes? I don't know if we have time.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yep, go have at it.
Okay. So, you know, usually those athletes that come in that are so structured, so regimented, that they're either depressed or anxious. And because they have this dream, but they've become so focused on it that anything else means that they're a failure. There's something in their past. So, like, and parents out there and athletes, you need to have a deeper understanding about what is anxiety. Anxiety is fear of tomorrow. You may hear my tone of my voice change, because this is so many young athletes are dealing with this. And this means there's something you're afraid of that you think is going to be reoccurring tomorrow, whether it's an injury or people losing confidence in you or supporting you. For those that are being called to become leaders on the team, maybe there's a part of you that doesn't want that much responsibility, or you're trying to live up to someone else's expectations. This is why the very first thing that I do with every athlete, and I mentioned earlier, is to clarify what your dreams are. Make sure they discuss their dreams as happening right now and not this lofty idea to be played out in the distant future. A great way for everyone that's listening right now to do this is to clarify their dreams and I'm in the process of statement. You know, write it like, I am in the process of, because everybody starts talking, oh, in the future I'm going to do that one day. No, I'm in the process of, if it's to become a college athlete, specify what school, circle it in the middle of a piece of paper, and start writing, well, I'm going to start talking to this guy. I'm going to shadow this guy. You know, this is my mentor right here, because he played college ball and he seems like he has a good head on his shoulder. And that's the type of people. That's what I do in my life. I mentioned mentors, and we have to have those people in our lives. And, you know, we all have to find a way that we contribute to the world in a way that works for us. Great dreams have to be your dreams and no one else's. Otherwise, you'll have an internal conflict that shows up in both the mind and body, because you're not being authentic to who you are. And this really, this is where it gets into when a lot of patients I see and a lot of athletes are depressed. And let's call depression, anxiety, both what they are, they're fear. And I don't want that to rub people wrong. We kind of, they've been so generalized in society, we're like, oh, I'm depressed or I'm anxious. And it's like, we're not tapping into what it really is. Depression is a fear that the past will be tomorrow. This mindset keeps athletes stuck. They're taking yesterday and projecting it into tomorrow. The root of the most depression is it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy that whatever happened to you is going to keep happening. So what wounds are you dealing with? What are you suppressing? Or even what are you obsessing over? And you alone are like the one agent of change you can rely on. The world looks different every time you change yourself for the better. Some people don't see the sun on a sunny day. That's why I have my patients focus on three things they appreciate every morning, right when they wake up, and every night when you go to bed, three things you appreciate. Start with something small, and then you get something big, whatever. You're either hardwiring your brain to see the beauty that it is with you in the world, or like what the world represents, this unresolved pain from your past. And it's your choice, and you're hardwiring your brain every time you start seeing the negative. So when we're talking about how to balance yourself out and get away from football, I think it's really the things is like how to rewire our brain to start recognizing the things that bring us joy and start doing those more. And it's hard to see those things when we think about what we don't have or what did happen to us, or this unresolved issue over here, or that we're not going to forgive that person, or we're angry here, or we have resentment. And I can recognize it in an athlete's breathing patterns. And I want you, a lot of you athletes out there listening, when you take a deep breath, is your chest and your shoulders expanding? Because what needs to happen is your belly expands. This is where a lot of us become guarded. And as contact athletes, we start taking these short breaths and we start guarding our rib cages and such. And so then all of a sudden, we're taking these short, shallow breaths. Well, when we take short, shallow breaths, we're making the sympathetic nervous system, that's the fight or flight system, constantly going. Now we're on guard constantly just in how we breathe. And so a lot of athletes, what I want you to do when you lay there in bed, I want you to put your hand on your stomach. Breathe in your stomach. Make it expand. You'll know right away if you're guarded or, you know what, that wasn't so hard. And then it opens you up to start seeing everything in life that you appreciate, you love, and that you enjoy.
Wow, this is huge information, and I expected you to have great content, Jed, but you're knocking it out of the park tonight. You know, the fact that you're talking about you're in the process of, that's huge. Make sure that it means something to you. Tap into what makes you happy. These are all things that we try to get across to our athletes. So really appreciate it. Last question of the night that I wanted to ask you before we let you go is,
okay,
obviously you're in a different point in your life, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, than you were when you were 18, 19 years old. What would the grown-up psychologist, Dr. Judd Johns, tell the 18-year-old Judd Johns walking onto the campus at CU for the first time?
What a great question. I don't know if we're even going to get off phone. We're talking about downloading 20 years of knowledge onto a teenager. I think first off, it's obvious. I would tell myself to go to sleep stupid and stop staying out trying to find trouble. I think it's clear how much I would teach balance. I think the biggest challenge to teach, T, and I want everybody to be open to this, just really let go and listen to this, self-acceptance and self-love. If you don't have self-acceptance or self-love, then you're requiring the rest of the world to do this job for you. And I did this as a young man. Most of it's been programmed to look at the rest of the world with nothing but judgment, that it needs to change for you to go through life and be okay with yourself. And the only thing judgment is an unmet need. And that's a very heavy statement, especially for a teenager. And if you're able to grasp this concept, it will change your life forever. Now, I'm going to give everybody an example. Now, a little demonstration. Hold out your hand in front of your face. Okay, then have to be right in front of your face. Give yourself a couple feet, you know, maybe a feet, okay? Now imagine your hand is being that person that really rubbed you wrong. I mean, it can be someone from your past, a teammate, a coach. Just get them in your mind's eye and imagine them as standing right in front of you as represented by your hand, okay? Someone really got under your skin. Now, the journey towards self-love and self-acceptance is realizing that any judgment of that person is a mirror reflection of something that you're not okay with in yourself. All try and make our judgment of another person about the other person. But how can your subjective experience, meaning your opinion of that person and how they're wrong or bad, or what you think they should have done differently, actually mean anything about them? Your experience of someone else and the world around you is a mirror reflection of what you don't like about yourself. Stop buying into the lie that other people, or more importantly, the world, has to change for you to be okay in life. That is my definition of suffering. Suffering comes down to programming. We have been programmed as a society to look at the world or other people and say, I'm right, you're wrong, and you got to change for me to be okay. So if someone or the world changing is a requirement for you to be okay in life, then you're going to suffer. We're talking about me as a teenager. I needed my suffering, especially from 18 to 28, because for over that decade, I finally had to come to a place where I was conscious of my view of the world and how I was not serving others by not loving and accepting myself. So that judgment you have for that person might as well be your hand smacking you right back in the face. It's not serving you or anybody. You can put your hands down if you so I'm in front of your face. So everything I teach to elite athletes all over the world, from high school to retired professional athletes, is to first formulate your dreams, speak to your dream in present tense, and become conscious of whatever is hanging out there in the shadows of the ego that's not allowing you to grow or self-actualize. And this all stems from a lack of balance, which leads to a lack of self-love and self-acceptance. Oh, man, I could go on for days, T, but I want everybody to know out there that I'm living out my dream every day by helping athletes achieve theirs. And I don't want others to live in pain or fear from what has happened in the past. I'm here to help in any way. So, you know, please reach out to me for even a free consultation. We can figure out on phone or Skype or sessions or whatever, if I'm a good fit for you or whatever you need, and we'll figure it out. Because, you know, I know why you're doing this, Terrence. There's nothing like watching young people fulfill their dreams, because that is part of your dream. And I want to help you as well. It's a powerful thing to be a part of.
Oh, man, you're doing us a tremendous favor tonight. I know you're a busy guy, and I know our audience got a lot out of it. We'll definitely have you on soon. And for those that want to reach out to you, Dr. Judd, how should they get a hold of you?
As you go to drjudd.com, that's drjudd, two Ds, .com, and you can either email me or you can get my phone number there, and I'll respond right away. And, you know, go to my website, definitely my YouTube videos I'm putting out, even the water one I'm putting out, at least a weekly update on everything in mind, body, spirit, as a more of a holistic perspective of how to take care of yourself. Everything I'm talking about now, I have a lot of it on my website. I give free information, so get out there on that email list. Follow me on the website. I'm not going to bombard you with emails. I'll probably give you something once a week, something small, a few paragraphs to read and think about and kind of hold on to, so you can slowly implement these things in your life. And the YouTube videos, go on and follow them. It really encourages me to put out more information if you like it. So if you like it, let me know. And if you don't like it, we'll just keep it our little secret. How about that?
There you go, man. Well, hey, once again, thank you so much for your time, and we'll have you on soon, and have a hell of a 2017.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. You have a great day.
All right, so there you guys have it. That is Dr. Judd Johns. He is a former teammate of mine at the University of Colorado, but doing some real, real amazing work, you guys, as far as sports psychology and then just helping people as far as lifestyle consulting. Once again, drjudd.com, he's somebody that really cares about athletes, and he gets it. He gets that there has to be a wholeness in your life for you to have the connection to be the type of athlete you want to be. So hopefully you guys got a lot out of tonight's show. We are definitely back. That was a great way to kick off 2017. We will be doing one show per week moving forward, and that's just so we can optimize and have the best guests possible for you guys, and then also give you guys time to prepare and schedule the show. So we will be on every Thursday between 6 and 6:30, and hopefully you guys join us next week. My name is Coach Terrence Wood, and I'm signing off for BYGP and the rest of the BYGP team. We will definitely see you at the top. Have a great evening.